Hello, ladies and gentlemen, episode number 76 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. Today is Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, and I'm your host, Big T, right here with you. We got plenty of WWE news and rumors to cover tonight. One of the headlining stories is, as you can see in the title of this podcast, News and Rumors Report, is Vince McMahon upset with Shinsuke Nakamura? Plus much more. So we got a lot of news and rumors to cover on episode number 76. I hope that you guys will join and be a part of it. And we're looking to have some fun. But before I get going, guys, you guys know how I start off the show every single time we hit the air here on Beyond the Ring with Big T, and that is with the introduction from Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter III. So what I want to do right now is get the intro ready here for Mr. EC3, and want to hear from the man himself. So, let me see if I can get this on screen share and get everything set up for you guys that you need. Hold on here. I know sometimes this gives me a little bit of a hassle. Alright. Screen share. All right, here we go. We're going to see EC3 right now. There he is. There's the man himself. And what I want you guys to do right now is kick back and relax and just take it easy. And listen to EC3. I'm with you guys in about 10 or 15 seconds or so. So enjoy EC3, everybody. I will be right back.
For your TNA wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.
All right, there we go. We heard from the man himself, EC3. It's always so great for Mr. EC3 every single time. And I just want to thank you for doing that awesome intro as always. And make sure you leave your likes on this video, leave your comments and subscribe. And also I want to take some time before we get into the news and rumors. I just want to take a couple of minutes before I introduce my guest and we get into the news and rumors. I'm going to start doing this to start off the shows now while you guys are just joining in. We got to get this screen share ready for you guys to hold on a second. Because I'm going to start making this a part of my openings, because I really want word to get around with this. All right. Let's do screen share one more time, guys. And there's my little furry friend, my little girl pretty. What I want you guys to do is start using the hashtag JusticeForPretty right now. Go back on my podcast. It's episode number 37, the 2016 year in review. I want you guys to go back on that podcast and listen to what I was talking about, because I go in depth about what happened to Pretty, how her life was taken due to careless veterinarian's negligence. That veterinarian is Dr. Joseph Doles from the Penn Hospital of Willoughby. And Pretty's life was senselessly taken from her, and she was taken away from us. And you got to get this hashtag going around, guys. This is to make sure that no other furry family members and furry friends like my little girl Pretty over here ever has to suffer the way that she did, because it was just horrible. And for Dr. Dulles to the negligence that he did, and for her life to be taken from us because of his carelessness, it's sad. It's really sad. And I miss Pretty every day. And you know what? I want to be her voice, and I want to stand up for her in this fight. And I hope you guys will join me by using the hashtag JusticeForPretty. And not only is Dr. Dulles negligent, but he also has a very unprofessional staff as well. And you know, same with this facility. The whole facility, you know, they're just they're a bunch of unprofessionals. And Dr. Dulles proved that by the negligence that you know, that happened under his watch to my little girl Prettier. So I want you guys to share that hashtag JusticeForPretty right now. And do it for her, and do it for your furry little family members as well, because veterinarians need to be held accountable for their actions, especially veterinarians that are careless and do negligence. Stand up against all those kind of veterinarians. So use the hashtag JusticeForPretty now. And I love you, Pretty, and we're going to keep up this fight for you, my little girl. All right, guys. Well, I just wanted to take that little bit of time to share that with you. But check out episode number 37 of the podcast, 2016 Year in Review, where I talk about this in depth. And I'll even link it down below for you guys so you guys can go and listen for yourselves. But that's just a little bit of what happened. Anyway, I'm your host, Big T, along with my co-host for the night. How's it going, buddy?
Yo, what's going on, brother?
It feels good to be back.
Yes, sir. I wanted to start off, before we get into the news or whatever, send you something on WhatsApp. I want you to watch it. And I want you to give me your thoughts on it, because I'm sort of torn by this. Just give me a second. Hold on. I'm gonna send you a link.
Okay.
It's a video.
Okay.
So.
All right. So I have now. For those of you that are watching live on YouTube, got a live chat window open. And for those of you listening on iTunes to the audio podcast, make sure that you guys subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star rating, all that good stuff. So, let's see. I just got Sage's thing on WhatsApp, but it kicked him out of the call. Let's get him back. Hey. Yep. He kicked you out of the call, bro. You there, bro? I was able to hear you. You sounded a little bit low.
Can you hear me?
Very little. You sound very, very low. What is going on tonight, Google? This is crazy. Google's got nothing but technical difficulties, I swear to God. It's been kicking Sage out left and right. I wish they would perfect something with this damn Google crap.
Yo.
There we go, now I can hear you.
Man, what the fuck is going on?
Oh,
did you get my link?
I got it.
Did you watch it?
I'm just gonna put it on right now.
Go ahead and watch that, and then I want to open up by discussing this, because this has caused some controversy the last 2 days.
Alright.
Bear with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I have a match with Leo Rush and Joey? They're on a ladder. I see a table set up. Just trying to explain everybody what they see here. Right, Leo Rush, they're at the top of the ladder. Janela, oh! What? What the fuck?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
What in the world? Bombs Leo Rush off the top of a damn ladder. And he no-sells it, gets right back up. And then Janela package pile drives him with that, which actually keeps him down for two. Man, I've never seen anything like that before. That's,
for the last day or day and a half now, social media has been going crazy with this video in regards with Leo Rush and the no selling and stuff. And I just saw a video earlier. That had me, you know, wondering, like, is indie wrestling killing the business, or is it making it flourish? And I'm sort of on the fence, because on one way, I believe, yeah, of course it is. Of course it's making the business flourish. It's giving guys opportunities, you know, especially guys who were in WWE and then, you know, got let go for whatever reason, and it's given them an opportunity to wrestle how they want, when they want. For example, Cody Rhodes is the biggest example that I could use. You know, he's selling merch the way that he wants. He doesn't have anybody telling him what to do, you know, and he's having fun while he's doing it. But on the other side of the spectrum, there's guys who do things like this, and a lot of fans think, oh, well, that's killing the business. And in a way, yes, I agree, but in another way, I disagree. You know, of course, if you take a fucking powerbomb from a 15-foot ladder to a table, you should stay down for a fucking three. I don't care who you are. But the fact of the matter is, now, you know, moves are becoming more elaborate and people need to do now 3 and 4 and 5 finishers to put away their opponent, as opposed to back in the day when all it took was just one. You know, now you need to do more stuff to keep your opponents down because they need to make everybody look good. They need to make everybody look strong, you know. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, you know. What do you think about indie wrestling and then when people do things like that, no selling? Because in Japan, they do this a lot. Well, not a lot, but definitely not putting people through tables and doing this. In Japan, they'll take a move and then they'll stand back up. Or like, they'll get clotheslined, right? But then they'll get right back up, no selling it. You know, but that's a clothesline. Because in Japan, they believe in the fighting spirit, right? That's like a thing in Japan. That's a common theme, you know, the fighting spirit, you know, you like your willpower, right? that's what's keeping you going on. And things like that I agree with, but with a powerbomb through a 15-foot ladder, I'm sort of like, I don't know, you know?
How do you feel? I gotta tell you, man, I took everything in, I saw the video and heard what you had to say, and you know what it's like. When you, indie wrestling definitely helps the business flourish, but I think when it comes to no selling, there's a time and a place. And when they no sell a clothesline or something like that, you know, that's different. But,
or a finisher, you know?
A finisher, yeah, granted, you know, one show sell a finisher before, so I could even look past that a little bit. But when you're looking at a 15 or a 20 foot ladder, and two guys are at the top of that ladder, and one guy powerbombs the other guy, through a damn table, sit on power bombs, through a damn table off that ladder, and the guy no sells it, that's a problem. Because now you're going to have some fans out there that are going to be like, oh, Leo Rush got up from it right away, like, why are you staying down in the ring, you pussy? Like, you'll have fans joking like that, you know? Mm-hmm. When a guy goes through a table now off a ladder, like, oh, Leo Rush can get up, but you can't. It's like, when something like
but
that
granted, it wasn't CZW, and CZW is known to do some crazy fucking hardcore ass spots, and then people brushing it off like it's nothing, so. It was CZW,
yeah, I mean,
so.
That's to be expected with CZW, I guess. I mean, I guess I'll give it a pass just for the simple fact that it is in CZW because they're the blood, gore, and violence of wrestling, basically, and they do all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm. They're like the new.
But no, if something like this were to wash over. Yeah. If something like this were to wash over in, you know, our other big indie promotions, like PWG or ROH or, you know, even AIW, you know, here in Cleveland, you know, any of these big indie promotions, if something like this would wash in an indie promotion like that, then I would say it's starting to kill the business. Because something like that should not be done ever. I mean, since CZW is that kind of company, maybe with them they can get a pass, but if it's done in any other business, it would not make sense.
Now, see, here's one thing. Like, I even tweeted it to Cornette, because I want to hear Cornette's thought on it, and I know Cornette's going to flip his shit as soon as he sees it. But Cornette is a very old school guy who he still believes, you know, gimmicks and heel and alignments should be protected, and you shouldn't be breaking kayfabe, and you know, villains shouldn't be taking pictures with baby faces on social media, blah 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 blah. I understand, because he comes from that old school mentality from the fucking 70s and 80s. That's cool, but it's 2017. Everybody knows this will work. Everybody knows it's scripted. Everybody knows you're not legit trying to kill each other. You're not legit trying to fucking murder your opponent. That's my thing. Because everybody knows it's work. It's the cat is out of the bag already. There's no going back. So no selling to me on one end, it's not good. But then on another side, it's like, yeah, but it's a fucking work. Right? And we're supposed to suspend our disbelief. We're supposed to imagine, okay, let's imagine that this is legitimate. This is real. That's what we're supposed to do. But, I mean, we know that it's not. I mean, We had a fucking guy wrestle in one leg in WWE. You understand? We had a fucking guy wrestling in a bunny costume in WWE. We had a guy dressed up like a fucking minotaur. Oh, what the fuck was the guy's name? I fucking forgot his name. The big furry bullhead.
Oh shit.
You know, we have voodoo priests, like Papa Shango and the boogeyman. Right?
Yeah.
We've had the freakiest gimmick of all time in The Undertaker, an undead zombie priest, the zombie voodoo priest who always comes back to life from the dead. You know? Who puts people in coffins. You know, and his brother, the fucking big red machine king. Like, so these are all gimmicks and characters that we're supposed to suspend our disbelief in and believe, oh man, they're real, they're legitimate. So when somebody no-sells a move like that, you know, we know it's a work, but we're supposed to believe that it's real. So that's why, like I said, I'm sort of on the fence. But I can see both sides of the spectrum. I can see both arguments. Most people that I've seen on social media, they hated that spot, that video that I showed you. They hated everything about it. And I think they especially hated it because of the fact that this is a man who's actually making his way to WWE very soon. You understand? Leo Rush is coming to NXT very soon. So,
So
a lot of people were losing their shit because of this, you know? I guess if he would have been some regular indie guy, nobody would have really gave a fuck, but because this is a guy who's wrestled in ROH and PWG, he's wrestled all over the world, and now he's finally making his way to NXT, you know, people really took this to heart. But again, I'm sort of in the middle. I can see both sides, both arguments. You know, we love this business and I understand people like Cornette. You know, you need to protect it. You know, you got to sell this and sell that. Cool. That's understandable, but it's a work. It's fake. It's not real.
Yeah. And you know what, that's what this kind of did. It's like they just want to show you like, hey, this is how we really feel after we take a spot.
I mean, again, like I said, you know, I'm used to, well, even in PWG, we don't even have to go all the way to Japan. Even PWG, right? PWG, they're known for quote-unquote being spot monkeys over there, right? They're the spot, right? They're there, you know, just to do spots, just to make things look good, not really tell a story or have any psychology behind it. Well,
yeah,
you know, if you really want to go back and see where it is that this stuff started, got its origins from, a lot of these indie promotions, especially PWG and especially CZW, which is the promotion where this took place at. All of these guys are influenced by ECW. ECW was like the original indie promotion. That's like the promotion that gave birth to everybody else that's out here now. You know, if it wasn't for ECW, there wouldn't be none of these other guys. The way that I look at ECW is the way that I look at, you know, Biggie and Tupac to hip hop, you know? If it wasn't for Biggie and Tupac back in the days talking all that, you know, I'm selling drugs, I'll shoot motherfuckers, blah, blah, blah. None of these new guys would be talking about that. Am I right?
Yeah.
None of these new guys will be talking about none of that shit. You know, and that's exactly it. ECW started that. These guys, they were like, well, we're going to take what ECW did and fucking turn it up a notch. And that's what they did. But again, These guys are wrestlers and wrestling in 2017. They're not so much as legitimate shoot athletes. They're looked at more as superheroes now. That's the way that I view wrestlers now. Instead of them trying to be athletes like they were back in the 80s, like, oh, well, this guy can legit do this to you, and this guy can legit do that to you. I look at it more as, well, these guys are more or less like superheroes, especially in the world of WWE. You know, when you look at any wrestler, every single wrestler, right? Ambrose has the D with the A, and the A looks like the anarchy sign, right? And like the scratch writing.
Yep.
Rollins, you know, he has the SR, but now he has the SR with the what's it called? It looks like the crosshairs on it, right? You know, Roman Reigns.
Oh, the burn it down?
Well, yeah, but I just mean the crosshairs, you know. The SR, yeah. then the circle with the crosshairs on it, you know? That's Rob.
Yeah.
Reigns. He has I call it the fake Ultimate Warrior, but it literally is two R's. That's all it is. Two double R's.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, they're more superheroes now than anything else. So I don't know how to feel, bro. I really don't know how to feel about that, but I personally didn't take it as up the ass like everybody else did. You know.
No, I got you.
You know. But anyways, yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, brother, because this is something that's been taking over social media for the last 2 days. And I just wanted to hear that because I remember last year, the real big, you know, the real big debate last year was the whole Ricochet versus Will Ospreay thing. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yep.
Right? The Ricochet-Will Ospreay deal. Now, I don't know. Well, I mean, you and I never got to speak about it. But I feel like this year, that's going to be the new Ricochet-Ospreay of this year. You know? So.
Just completely no selling.
But not only no selling a fucking powerbomb off a ladder through a table, which, you know, it's sort of a head scratcher, but I know a lot of people was pissed off online. Trust me, I read all the tweets. I read everything everybody had to say. People were pissed. People were really pissed off.
I mean, I'm kind of like you, you know, on the opinion side of it, but it's just like I said, if it starts washing over and like all the indie promotions and say indie promotions will start doing things like this, like where there'll be big spots and no one will sell, then I would say starting to get a little overboard with just something out of the ordinary or, you know, something that you haven't seen in a while coming from CZW, I guess that's to be expected because they push the envelope all the damn time. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you basically, you gotta be crazy to be in CZW. We know Dean Ambrose is crazy because look at what he did. That's when he was John Moxley.
You sound sleepy, bro. I said you sound like you're sleepy, bro. What's going on?
I had a yawn.
But yeah,
get my yawn out.
Yeah, Dean Ambrose was John Moxley. Dean Ambrose did come from, he did come from CZW. So he's very familiar with that style over there. Most definitely.
Oh yeah, he knows what this is all about.
Yep.
But hey, I appreciate you bringing that video to my attention. That gave me a little something to think about.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's been debating this, and I was like, let me see what T has to say about this. Me, I don't know, critical as other people, or maybe I am critical, but I'm not biased in my opinion. I like looking at both sides and formulating my own opinion. And honestly, you know, I think I fall right in the middle because I don't hate it, but I don't love it. At the end of the day, this type of deal would never happen in WWE. Again, this was CZW, so it's not like it's a promotion that's gonna change the game or whatever, but they definitely had me, you know, thinking like, shit, man, like, bro, is this good for the business or is this bad for the business? A lot of people think this is bad for the business. Me, not so much.
Same here, you know, it's not really that bad. It'll only become bad if it gets out of control. If it gets out of control and everybody starts doing it, then we got a problem. But with just CZW, they go off the handle all the time, so like even right when you told me, you know, that it was in CZW, it's like right then and there, I was not really surprised.
Yep. Yeah, man. This is what they're known for, so. But anyways, let's get into the news.
Yeah, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, first and foremost, because it is my boo, it is the one woman that I fucking love in all of WWE, but I wanted to wish a very special happy birthday to my girl, Alexa Bliss. She turns 26 years old today, and she is the Raw Women's Champion, the first ever Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion, might I add, since the brand split. First ever, number one. This woman has improved immensely from when she started in NXT with the little sparkle bliss thing that she had going on, the little fairy gimmick that she had with the little blue skirt or whatever. Fast forward all the way until now, where she's the quote-unquote Little Miss Bliss with her little Harley Quinn-type gimmick going on. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. I think she's been doing some of her best work of her career. The fact that she started off on SmackDown, you know, they gave her that platform to showcase her skills on SmackDown. She became a SmackDown Women's Champion there. She excelled so well there that fucking Vince saw this and was like, nah, we need that on Raw. They brought her over on Raw and she's been killing it ever since. I mean, I can wish nothing but the best for this woman. I'm so happy for her, so proud of her, and that's my boo right there, man. Happy birthday to Alexa Bliss.
I I actually read about that earlier, about it being Alexa's birthday, and I was kind of thinking that maybe you were going to say something about it.
Oh, damn right. Of course, I had
sure
to.
Enough.
I had to. I had to. But moving on, now this is something that caught my attention when I read this. Again, apologize to everybody that's watching. There hasn't been a lot of big news coming out this week. Maybe the closer it gets to, the closer that it gets to SummerSlam, maybe the more news we'll get. But apparently, Vince McMahon was reportedly upset with Shinsuke Nakamura following the exploder suplex spot with John Cena from last week's match. According to Sports Illustrated, WWE chairman Vince McMahon was upset with Shinsuke Nakamura following the exploder suplex spot with John Cena last week on SmackDown. It says here, here's an excerpt from Sports Illustrated. It says here, and I quote, "Yet Nakamura did not escape the wrath of McMahon, who has come to depend on Cena as the face of his company for the past decade. Despite McMahon's anger, which is more in defense of Cena than it was an indictment on Nakamura, he has not lost faith in the Japanese star. However, if Nakamura makes another mistake on the grand stage, Sports Illustrated learned through channels close to WWE, then McMahon will have an entirely different opinion of Nakamura." Okay. One, Vince McMahon has a knack to overreact. It's first and foremost. That man catches a fucking titty attack if you even look at anybody wrong. So that's first and foremost. Cena was okay. I don't know why everybody, ooh, horrible botch. Dude, fucking relax. Do you see the fucking bumps that they take in New Japan? This is a baby bump compared to the shit that they do over there. I don't know why Vince is bitching and complaining. Oh, cause Cena's the face of the company. Dude, he's gonna fucking be gone after fucking SummerSlam anyways. Like, the fuck is up with Vince? Vince needs to fucking relax. Nakamura is a fucking star. And if this is gonna derail Nakamura's push, just because Cena got a little boo-boo, I mean, Seth Rollins broke the man's fucking nose last year, or the year before last. And on top of that, Nakamura apologized to Cena, and immediately Cena said, hey, don't worry, it's alright. Cena himself told him, it's cool, it's fine. So what the fuck is up with Vince? Vince is a fucking piece of shit, man. Fucking piece of shit. That nigga needs to catch a stroke or something. He needs time away from the company. I need him away from this
Vince,
company. The fucking cancer.
Vince needs a lot of time away. A lot of fucking time away. I mean, you're gonna get upset over something like this when, alright, the man himself is supposed to have some sort of pull in the back with Vince, okay? So, Vince, the senile bastard, you know he's back there watching, you know he heard Cena say, hey, alright, it's alright, when Cena told Nakamura, it's alright, you know, no problem. Shouldn't Vince have just taken that and left it the fuck alone then? Cena's the one that actually had the move executed on him. Vince wasn't in that fucking ring.
Mm-hmm.
100% okay with it. So yeah, like you said, what the fuck is Vince's problem?
Yeah.
What did he ever do in a ring? Only moment he had in a ring was fighting Triple H at Armageddon in 1999, which was a damn good match, but you know, he's had a couple others throughout, but you know, now in present day, he doesn't do anything in the ring, so what the fuck's he getting all bent out of shape about? If Cena wasn't pissed.
The only thing Vince is known for in the ring is two things. One, he's getting stunned by Austin on a nightly basis. And two, is a kiss my ass girl. That's it. Other than that, Vince needs to stay away from the fucking ring.
Exactly.
Could you believe he wanted to be a wrestler? And his father forbade him from being a wrestler?
Oh, man.
And even though his dad didn't want him to do that, he still ended up getting in the ring anyways. So
He still had to get in the ring, you know? It's still
yeah,
to
yeah,
get
yeah,
enough.
Exactly.
Bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, Nick, you know, have a good night, bro.
We had the whole fucking wrestling world by the balls. It's like, no, that's not good enough. I want to be in the ring.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's, you know, he has to get his way. Spoiled little brat that he was. You know. But, whatever, that's Vince, right? He's stuck in his ways. He's not gonna change anytime soon. I mean, the man is fucking 70 years old, right?
Yeah, he's actually, shit, his birthday's this month. His birthday's like his birthday's probably like in another 10 days or so, within the next 10 to 14 days, and he's gonna be...
Isn't it in September?
He'll be 70... Birthday's in August, I think.
I think it's in September.
It's gotta be, oh, shit. Is it? I don't know why I was thinking August. It might actually be September. Let me see.
Tell you right now.
4th.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, 5th.
Yeah, so he's gonna be 72.
He's past the 70 mark.
Wait, the 24th. What's the 24th gonna be? 24th is gonna land on what day? Oh, that's actually a Thursday. Damn, so he won't be on TV. Okay.
You know what's funny, bro? Hmm. If you Google search Vince McMahon, Vince Twitter is the top link. Then the Bleacher Report article, and then hold on, let me see if I can show you, get a kick out of it. Anybody that wants to know the latest and greatest, our link. Right now, well, that's our link. You Google search Vince McMahon, we're like 4th from the top. Our story that's going right now. There you go. That means you gotta check us out. But I don't know what the fuck is wrong with this dude.
Let him go.
He's 72 and he's angry as fuck.
Yeah, he's gonna be 72 in like less than 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, just over 2 weeks, 15 days.
Yep. Yeah.
15 more days.
Yeah,
so
it's gonna be the 10th. So, literally 4 days. Yeah.
Right after SummerSlam.
Yep.
We will have to come on here and sing him happy birthday.
Yeah. So the next story that I wanted to get into was John Jones teases a SummerSlam appearance, apparently.
Oh, this is.
It says, as you all are aware, the internet has been buzzing ever since John Jones called out Brock Lesnar following his fight against Daniel Cormier at UFC 214. The UFC light heavyweight champion was asked, is he going to be ringside at SummerSlam on August 20th? And he responded with, it's crossed my mind. That's it. That's the story. So John Jones teasing a SummerSlam appearance. I mean, I don't see him being there unless, you know, if he's there for him to have some sort of altercation with Lesnar. You know what I mean? Like, if he's there, he's definitely going to have to be, you know, part of the script. It's not like they're just going to let him be at ringside and not have any interaction with Lesnar, you know?
Exactly. And honestly,
what happened?
You know, the first, I'm just going with the first thought that popped into my head as soon as you read the story. Making me think now that maybe John Jones is going to screw Brock Lesnar out of the Universal title.
No way. No way.
This goes hand in hand with Heyman and Brock both saying that if Brock loses the title, he will leave. Vince and Dana White can work together on this. They really can. John Jones either distracts Lesnar, you know, he doesn't have to get physically involved, but distracts Lesnar, does something to screw him out of the title.
I don't see it happening, bro.
Lesnar leaves and goes to the UFC, has the fight with John Jones, then maybe comes back because there was a rumor I heard earlier in the week that Vince McMahon reportedly wants to make this fight happen before WrestleMania.
Yeah, there's rumors they want to do it like before. They want to do it like by December. That way Lesnar's free for the Rumble and then for Mania. That's what I read.
Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff floating around.
But I highly doubt that that's going to happen unless Vince pulls some strings and Dana pulls some strings in order for his USDA, whatever the hell, suspension to be lifted sooner. Because remember, it was paused whenever he retired. So the fact that, you know, he wants to have another fight, I guess they unpaused it, but he still has to wait out. He needs to ride out like at least another 5 months, 4 or 5 months.
Oh.
Yeah, so,
okay. Yes. Really, they would have to pull some strings out another 5 months. That means at the earliest, then the fight would happen.
Yeah, it would be sometime next year. It's not going to happen now. But that being said, the fight has to happen now because, you know, everybody's talking about it. Everybody wants it to happen. But now, you know, if the fight happens, is Lesnar going to go down or is Jones going to go up? I'm assuming Jones is going to go up because Lesnar, he's like 275. 280.
You know? Yeah. Jones is definitely gonna go up.
Let me check Lesnar's weight right now. Lesnar, he got to weigh like 280. 270, 280. He gotta be like 280.
Oh, he's got to.
286.
Okay.
Yeah, cause Reigns' build weight is 275. So, Lesnar's way bigger than Reigns, so.
And where's John Jones at on the weight scale?
He has to be 205. Because light heavyweight in UFC is 205.
Alright, how much?
Double check right now.
How much would he have to be to qualify for a heavyweight?
265.
Whoa, so Jones would have to go up 60 pounds?
Damn right. And I don't see Lesnar cutting that much.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's the thing, it's 20. Yeah, no, Jones is 205. I'm looking at it right now. Jones is 205 on the dot. The light heavyweight Whoa. Division is 205 on the dot.
Let's see, I'm looking at the heavyweights. See UFC heavyweight range. Say Jones would have to be at the very lowest. Oh, okay, here it is, Sage. To go up at all, really. It says, MMA, the heavyweight division that makes martial arts, it groups fighters between 206 and 265 pounds.
Yeah, but still, man, it's gonna be a very uneven fight. Very uneven.
Oh, it's gonna be. Unless Jones goes up maybe about 20, 30 pounds to get closer, but say if Jones goes to 206, weight to get to 265 like he always had to do in UFC, 59 pounds of weight that Lesnar's gonna have on Jones right off the bat.
Oh yeah. Definitely. So, regardless, it's going to be an uneven fight, but hey, they want to do it. And right now, the only other names in UFC or in MMA that rings any bells or that draws any eyes is Lesnar and McGregor. And McGregor's already tied up with Mayweather. So here we have two of the biggest stars in mixed martial arts. And for UFC to make any money selling the tickets, they have to look to outside sources, outside of their own brand, outside of their own company to bring eyes to their product. With Lesnar being in WWE and Mayweather being in the boxing world. So the two of the biggest stars in UFC in mixed martial arts, they gotta go get people from outside of their companies, of their respective trades, just so they can get eyes on that product. Isn't that crazy? Huh? After Dana White talked all this shit about, oh, wrestling being fake and this and that and the third. But yet, you're sucking the dick of Vince McMahon for Brock Lesnar, aren't you? Fucking asshole. And I love mixed martial arts. I love UFC, but Dana White is a fucking piece of shit. Dana White's a piece of shit. And, so is Joe Rogan.
So you don't really like any of the higher ups of the UFC then, huh?
The fact that he said that they talk so much shit, oh, wrestling's fake, this and that and the third. But yeah, he there are kissing ass of Vince to try to fucking bring over Lesnar, you know? And there's also rumors of Rousey training to become a wrestler. And there's also rumors of fucking Cyborg calling out fucking Becky Lynch. So, there are three different instances where the WWE and UFC are essentially working together.
Wow.
So, you got Cyborg and Lynch. You got Rousey training to be a wrestler. Who knows? Most likely, maybe she'll pick up where, WrestleMania 31 left off, and maybe feud with your girl Stephanie, or maybe with Charlotte or Becky or one of them. Because remember, WWE has their own four horsewomen with Bayley, Sasha, Becky, Charlotte, and so does the mixed martial arts world with Rousey, and those other girls.
Yeah, that's true too. They can go that route.
So.
You know, like you said, Dana White. Always talking about, oh, wrestling's fake and this and that, but how we're doing business when it's to make money.
I mean, trust me, when it comes to money, everybody's best friends, right?
Yeah. That's definitely true, bro.
Everybody's best friends when money's involved.
Yeah, I'll tell you, money is the one thing that can bring people together, but also tear people apart.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, moving on. WWE cancels another show. WWE continues to cancel shows. We noted earlier on the site that the company decided to do away with Renee Young's Unfiltered show and Talking Smack on the WWE Network. The latest show that was canceled is Kathy Kelly's NXT Insider Show that aired on various WWE platforms, including YouTube and social media. She tweeted out the following. RIP, hashtag NXT Insider, crying emoji, heartbreak emoji, I thought we were safe. Thoughts on WWE canceling NXT Insider?
Honestly, man, I don't know why WWE is canceling so many of their shows. I mean, isn't that why they have their own network? Isn't this why they have their own YouTube? Give their own exclusive shows and then they keep canceling them all. I mean, what's the deal here? It's not maybe like they're hurting.
Cutting back on calls. I mean, they are cutting back on pyros. They are cutting back on, they've been cut back on any elaborate stage setups because all the fucking stages look alike. So, you know. They've been cutting back on a lot of things.
I don't understand why they're doing all these cutbacks when the company is making a fucking boatload of money. You know, they're not hurting for money, bro. Sales or anything, you know, or their revenue is down. It's just the ratings that are fucking down. That's it. Other than that, you know, there's...
Yeah, but remember... Yeah, but remember, They check what draws the most ratings on their network. And, they've been cutting back on shows that don't even crack the top 20. Which is funny because 205 doesn't even crack the top 20 yet. You know, they haven't cut that show off yet.
So, I think they're going to cut off 205 eventually. It's just a matter of time. I think, honestly, I don't know why they haven't already, but I think the only reason what's keeping 205 afloat is because they need somewhere to build rivalries for the Cruiserweights, and they know Raw, it's not going to happen. They need their own show, so I think that's the only reason why they're keeping that afloat.
Yep.
If it wasn't for that, bro, I don't think they would, I don't think they would even have 205 Live anymore.
Mm-hmm. And, lastly, I want to close it out with this, rumored plans for Goldust. Dave Meltzer said on today's edition of Wrestling Observer Radio that Goldust could be transitioning into a manager role. as seen on Monday's Raw, Goldust will be naming a wrestler that he will align with at SummerSlam or will be at the event to scout someone. Regarding his feud with R-Truth, the feeling within the company was that it was a flop. The company thinks rather than using Goldust in a mid-card role, it could use his mic skills and name value to help elevate another wrestler. Thoughts on that?
I mean, honestly, it doesn't sound that bad to me. It really doesn't sound that bad at all. I mean, Goldust, I'm all for it, actually. I gotta be honest with you, I'm all for it. Goldust, to be a manager, I would love to see it. The question is, do you have a manage out of the crop of superstars that, you know, you have at this moment on Raw? Who told us manage? That's like the one thing that I, you know, the hardest thing to piece together would be that. Other than that, I think Goldust as a manager would be a great thing, you know, for his career. At least he'll get to be utilized. So that's a plus.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who you would have to manage. But I know that he said you could use his mic skills. So obviously it's someone who isn't very good on the mic. And it's someone who they can use their name value off of. So I don't know. Maybe they could bring someone up from NXT. That's the best, the best thing that I would say, but who? I don't know. Maybe the guy that has that Prince gimmick going on.
I know who you're talking about, Patrick Clark.
Yep.
The Velveteen Dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I can see that. I can really see that because Patrick Clark, Velveteen Dream character, it honestly reminds me a lot of the old Goldust character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except about the face paint. You know, he's got the flamboyance and he uses flamboyance to get into his opponent's heads. Much the way that Goldust used to. So.
Yep.
That doesn't sound all that bad. I actually like that idea. I think that would be the best pairing. And I gotta was on that one because honestly I wasn't even thinking the Velveteen Dream, but for you to bring that up and throw that idea out there, that's one that definitely impressed me, and I think it could benefit Patrick Clark immensely, especially with his character, to stand side by side with Goldust.
But knowing WWE, they're gonna pair him with someone who probably doesn't need it. Or they'll pair him with somebody who won't make any type of sense. Sort of like the way that they did, Del Rio and Dutch Mantel. Or, what was his name in, Zeb Coulter, yeah.
Zeb Coulter.
Yeah, they'll most likely do something like that. Like, just an oddball pairing, sort of like, oh hey, let's see where this goes. Sort of how, Goldust and R-Truth were sort of thrown together. You know, that's most likely what they'll do, but, you see, and another thing that I want to add, before we, close out here.
Okay.
You saw how it said, Goldust in a Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, bro.
You saw how it said Goldust in a managerial role?
Yep.
Well, why not put Enzo in that role?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Why the hell? No, if Goldie could be a manager, put Enzo as a manager. There's a lot of other guys who could be managers too, you know? You don't have to wrestle just because you're there.
Yeah, because Enzo could be a very good mouthpiece for somebody. I mean, he really can be.
Well, I forgot who I was listening to. I think I was listening to Brian Zane earlier. Brian Zane, usually on Wednesdays, he does this show on his YouTube channel called Who Wore It Better, where he reviews both Raw and SmackDown, and then, you know, he, at the end, he tells you who he think won, up for the week.
Oh, okay.
And he mentioned something that I was like, you know what, yo, you're right. He said, you know, Bayley comes out, Bayley gets fucking lambasted by Toronto. She gets booed, right? Then, Enzo, you know, who leading up to the whole Big Cass attacking him angle was also getting lambasted, also getting booed left and right. All of a sudden, he's, they made it so that he actually got cheered.
Yeah.
You know? He actually got cheered. And Zane said, he was like, you know what? This goes to show you that having mic skills actually benefits, the superstars. Because the mic skills, you know, actually had him be cheered as opposed to getting booed the way that he has been, you know, for weeks on end. And the fact that Bayley doesn't have any mic skills, that was only to her detriment because it absolutely hurt her, you know?
Oh, it hurt her big time.
Yeah, it hurt her horribly, you know? So, come here. Come here. Of course, Oreo's always stealing the freaking Coco and Chanel's toys, man. He's always stealing their toys.
He's like a big baby, bro.
Yeah, he just, my uncle left the door cracked. He fucking just bone rushed it, like, and he goes in, he steals their toys, and then he comes out like, nope, this is my toy now. It's like, Roman, this is my yard now. But yeah, so honestly though, it goes to show you that if you have mic skills, you know, at least it'll keep the fans in your favor for at least a little while, because Bayley just got lambasted, bro.
Oh, Bayley's been getting completely blasted. Completely. Yeah,
Bayley. I don't understand, bro. Bayley. I don't think there's anything that she can do at this point to bounce back.
Honestly, it doesn't seem that way. It really doesn't, because
I think the injury is a blessing in disguise.
It really is, because if you really think, if you think about it, the injury with Bayley, that injury is the only hope that she has as to where she could take some time off and actually have the fans have sympathy for her.
Yeah.
If she comes back and the fans still don't give a fuck, then she's got a big problem. Then I think she's just floating up Schitt's Creek without a paddle for good at that point.
Yep, gotta say I agree.
Because, I mean, you know, it's the Bailey experiment. You know what? Bailey's the easiest woman to book. Honestly, she's the easiest woman to book. All you have to do is book her like Daniel Bryan or somebody like that. Have her be an underdog, have her overcome obstacles. Instead, they booked her to be like a fucking 14-year-old prepubescent girl that's never been kissed.
But you know, there's only so much characters that you can book in that role, right? In the underdog babyface role, there's only so much characters. And honestly, in all fairness, you can't book every babyface as an underdog. I mean, Roman Reigns is the number one example. He's not underdog in the least bit, you know?
You're right.
You know, I mean, if that's the case, Sami Zayn should be the prime. He should be the top babyface. But again, I don't understand what it is that these people plan on doing with him. I think that he should be the one of the primary babyfaces in the entire promotion. But hey, you know, who am I, right? Gargano, that's another one who could be, you know, any given day, just be that underdog that, you know, everybody gets behind, right?
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it's not like that. So, you know, it just goes to show you can't book them all like that. But Bailey, I mean, with Bailey, it was already simple because it was already done. All you had to do was keep booking her the way that she was in NXT. For whatever reason, they just didn't, man. They didn't.
Yeah, they didn't do it.
They had to keep her the same way she was in NXT. Same thing with Nakamura. I had to keep him the same way as he was in NXT. And they did. So, I don't know, man. I don't understand. I don't understand what's up with these people.
I don't either, man. There's so many times it's like we end up getting so lost trying to figure them out or trying to figure out what the fuck, you know, their issue is. And, I mean, seriously, there's a lot of times you can legit beat your head up against a brick wall trying to figure it out. Seriously. It can get very, very upsetting. There's no doubt, bro. Mm-hmm. And you know,
That's all I really have. I don't know if you, did you have anything that you wanted to speak on or no?
Yes, I actually do have two quick things, which is the Raw and SmackDown ratings report.
Okay.
Which I do have, so let me pull this up and we'll rock and roll on it.
Go for it.
By the way, I want to read a few comments. One was from Teddy. He says, hey guys, haven't been on in a while because of work. That's alright, Teddy. But Lisa adding here to the whole Justice for Pretty thing I spoke of in the beginning. I've had Jason Novak at Animal Emergency Clinic in Mentor, Ohio, ordered the Clavamox. This vet did the right thing. Dulles did the wrong thing. And I believe he knows. He sucks Hashtag justice for Prudy. And then Lisa puts another message. People, help in getting hashtag justice for Prudy moving on Twitter, Facebook, and everywhere on the web. The pet hospital of Willoughby must be closed for good, and Joseph Doles must have his license revoked. And another message, Lisa says, always hashtag justice for Prudy. She paid the ultimate price. Death. And Lisa goes on to say in closing, great opening statement on behalf of Prudy. Love you and your show. Well, I love you too, Lisa, and thank you for watching, and thank you for supporting getting the hashtag justice for Prudy out there. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, get that hashtag trending, guys.
Yeah, all you pet lovers out there, if there's one thing I could ask all the fans of this show for, you know, cause I don't, you know, Sage, I've never asked for anything since I've been on the show, but if there's one thing I could ask of everybody, that's to get that hashtag moving. So that would be awesome. Let me pull up the Monday Night Raw ratings first. And then we'll go over into SmackDown. Okay. Let's see if this is the right website I need. Okay. Here it is. Now let me screen share it so that you guys can see this. This is on tpww.com. Hold on here. There we go. It says, WWE Raw ratings for August 7, 2017 up again. As you can see, this is on TPWW, the People's Wrestling website. By AAA on Tuesday, August 8, 2017 at 4:38 p.m. Monday's Raw brought in an average of 3.24 million viewers, up from last week's 3.163 million viewers. So 3,240,000 this week is up from last week's 3,163,000. Raw featured the last man standing match between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. That is the fifth week in a row that Raw's viewers have gone up, and the highest viewer amount since the Superstar Shakeup. This time last year, the August 8th, 2016 episode of Raw did 2,911,000 viewers. Raw was number 2, 3, and 5 on cable in the 18 to 49 demographic for the night, and number 1 overall, Love and Hip Hop Hollywood 4 on VH1 was number 1 again in the 18 to 49 demographic, though it had fewer overall viewers at 2,284,000. Hourly breakdown looks like this. 8 p.m., 3,263,000. 9 p.m. hour, 3,314,000 viewers. 10 p.m., 3,144,000 viewers. So as you can see, Raw's ratings have went up, and honestly, Sage, I gotta say, well deserved, because Raw did pull out a decent show this week, where you know they did deserve to have a rating spike. What do you think? How do you feel about that?
I mean. Proof is in the product, man. I mean, a couple months ago, there's no way in hell that Raw was gonna top SmackDown. Fast forward to the road to SummerSlam, and that tide has shifted. It's been that way for at least a month. No, I'd say since after Jinder won the championship.
Yeah.
Ever since they decided to put the strap on that man.
It's like the whole product has went backwards.
Yes. Yes. It just plummeted. It plummeted completely. And
it's, you know,
go ahead.
I'm not trying to rip on Jinder, you know, or try to belittle him every chance I get just because I don't like what he's doing. I'm not trying to do that. When I say this, I say this, you know, completely unobjectively, you know, I really mean it then. I mean, of course, creative is part of the problem as well. It doesn't rest solely on Jinder, but I think Jinder has got to take half of the blame. You know, just the way, just because of who he is and holding the title, he's not a marketable person. You know, it's just not going to work. This experiment has failed.
Absolutely. It most definitely has failed. And, I mean, doesn't look like it's going to get any better right now.
No, you know, it looks like they are on a downside, and how long that lasts, that's to be seen. But, exactly. Well, we're just talking about SmackDown, and let's go over to the other side of the spectrum, to SmackDown Live, and take a look at their ratings for this week. It's on CapesideSeats.com, as you can see. By Sean Reuter. This was put up today, August 9th, 2017 at 5 PM Eastern Time. So, let's see, what does it say at the top? We got the picture of Cena. It says, WWE SmackDown Live ratings for August 8th, 2017. Viewers up slightly for Orton and Mahal. Now, you know, looking here, it says, well, what do you know? It wasn't advertised until the night before, but the Jinder Mahal-Randy Orton non-title rematch, which main evented the August 8th SmackDown, is just as likely as anything else to be the reason viewership and ratings ticked up for the blue brand this week. Actually, it was probably John Cena or James Ellsworth. Audience size-wise, the episode drew 2,584,000 views, another small 15,000 viewers gained from the week before. How does this have 15 more thousand viewers than the week of Cena Nakamura? Really? I mean, I'm just sitting here scratching my head at that, because the SmackDown the week before was a fucking incredible SmackDown. I mean, Sage and I, for God's sakes, actually had our episode number 75. We had a whole podcast dedicated just to that fucking episode. It was good. Jeez, alright. 15,000 viewers gained from the week before. That was good for second among cable originals as WWE pulled in front of Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. Finishing only behind Sean Hannity on Fox News. Among the 18 to 49 year old demographic, ratings rose 2.80 from a 0.76 7 days earlier, which was again best on the night. While you say your prayers and take your vitamins, this does not lead to more Viper versus Mahara matches. Here's a rundown of the Blue Brand's numbers this year, which I'm not going to go through the whole year. You know, you can see some numbers right here as to what the Blue Brand has done. Okay. The Blue Brand has only broken the 3 million viewer mark one time the whole year, and that was April 11th. When they had the Superstar Shake-Up. it drew 3.11 million. For whatever fucking reason, okay, this week drew a 2.584. You know, 15,000 viewers up, so it drew a 2.58 overall. August 1st, it drew a 2.57 million. And that was Cena Nakamura. So much better of a fucking SmackDown. I don't understand what happened here, but there it is from Cage Side Seats. So,
this week the viewership was up?
It was up on SmackDown.
That you don't understand why it's up this week?
I don't understand why SmackDown is up higher this week compared to last week. Last week SmackDown was fucking great.
Yeah, but you're saying that because you were there live. That's why you're saying that. You were there live. That's why you're saying it was great. This week, I mean, it wasn't a bad SmackDown. It just wasn't better than Raw. Obviously, people are going to tune in. They're tuning in closer and closer to, you know, the day of SummerSlam. Obviously, ratings always goes up the closer they get to the pay-per-view. You know that. So, obviously, people were interested to see if there was going to be any Shinsuke-Mahal interaction. People were obviously tuning in to see a follow-up between the Usos and the New Day. People were tuning in to see, I'm assuming, maybe the women. I don't really think so. I think the women is one of the weaker things on both brands, not just SmackDown, but on Raw as well. But I think people were tuning in to see those things and to see what Cena was going to do. Since Cena lost to Nakamura last week, people were curious to see, hey, well, let's see what Cena's going to do. Let's see what Orton or what Rusev is going to do, whatever. All of that got ironed out this week. So, you know.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think. That's maybe why the ratings were up higher. Also, they were in Canada, and, you know, WWE doesn't go to Canada very often. I mean, the last time they were there was at last year's Survivor Series, so, I mean, damn near almost a year later. Was that like 9 months ago? 8 months ago? So, you know.
Yeah.
That's why people were, maybe tuning in.
Well, you definitely sound spot on with everything, I'll tell you that.
And I just gotta say, I mentioned it yesterday and I mentioned it, on Monday, but I absolutely love the Toronto crowd. They were awesome. I don't know why people were giving them shit. They were giving them shit over the fucking Charlotte stuff, like seriously. Like, I don't understand you people on social media. You don't want the crowds to be dead. But then when they're alive and rowdy and chant shit, they, ooh, why you gonna chant this stuff? Shut the fuck up. I love smart crowds. I hate crowds that sit on their fucking hands and don't clap and fucking think about fucking, oh, what are we gonna have for dinner today? Why fucking go to a show if you're gonna be quiet? You know? I understand if this was Japan. In Japan, the crowds are known to be quiet. But in America, when you're quiet, that's the signs of a bad show. That means you don't care. That means you're not interested. You're not invested. When you're making noise and when you're cheering, and who you like, who you don't like, hey, management listens to that. Management likes that. They respond to that, which is why we get what we get. Why do you think at Money in the Bank, as soon as Nakamura and Styles had that segment where they grabbed the fucking ladders and put it to the side and they teased that little teaser, that little, what must have been, what, like 30 seconds to a minute of a brawl that they had, dude, the people were losing their fucking shit. What do you think
would have happened
if had, what do you think would have happened had that audience been on their fucking hands or been on their phone the whole time? Fucking thinking about how they're gonna milk the cows whenever they get home. Like, they obviously wasn't gonna reply to that very well, were they? No. So the fact that Toronto was live and rowdy and chanted and booed, who gives a fuck? A thank you Lana chant because they pulled down Charlotte's fan? I mean, seriously, bro? Who cares? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Who cares? Besides, Charlotte isn't all that anyway. I wouldn't fuck Charlotte. I wouldn't fuck Charlotte. Even if I was using your dick, bro, I wouldn't fuck Charlotte. That's just me. So, I don't understand.
I wouldn't go near Charlotte even after a 12-pack and a fifth of the scotch.
So I don't understand why all the hate. I don't get it. I don't get it at all, but whatever. Anyways, bro, you can close this out whenever you're ready.
All right, bro. A couple more things here before we close out. Do you have a wrestler for the week this week?
You know, I was thinking about it. Now when we're saying wrestler of the week, I need to ask, do you mean for Raw and SmackDown or wrestler of any promotion anywhere?
Any promotion anywhere. You know, all things that I've seen. You know, which can range from anywhere.
If it's from Raw and SmackDown, my wrestler of the week has to be Braun Strowman. For the simple fact that he put on a really great match with Reigns. And the reason it's not Reigns is because Strowman won the match. So, yeah, man, he put on a really great match. You know, those two have really great chemistry together. Regardless of what you feel about either guy, they have good chemistry together. And it was a really great match. Again, like I said, the fact that Strowman won, that's why he's my Raw Wrestler of the Week, or my WWE Wrestler of the Week. Other than that, I mean, you know, nobody else really impressed me that much. On Raw and SmackDown, I think that the matches of this week wasn't all that besides anything on Raw, you know. That's about it. Now if we're talking about wrestlers from anywhere else, from around the world, then I'd have to say from Japan, I mean, Naito and Zack Sabre Jr. had a really great match. Naito had a pretty decent match with Togi Makabe. Evil defeated Kazuchika Okada in a big upset, big upset. Juice Robinson defeated Kenny Omega in another huge upset. So honestly, if I'm talking Japan, fuck man. Japan is like tied up, but I think I'd have to give it to Evil, because Evil, you know, yeah, Juice beat Kenny Omega, and that was a very, very big, like, holy shit moment. But Juice did it, you know, Kenny Omega was setting to hit him up with a one-winged angel. And Kenny Omega was going to hit the one-winged angel. He lift him up. He had him in the electric chair position right as he was about to hit him with the, you know, drive him down to the mat. Juice rolled through and fucking did an inside schoolboy or like a package, a small package. And he pinned him 1, 2, 3. It's not like he hit his finisher and definitively beat him. He had to roll him up. Whereas Evil fucking hit his finisher on Okada. And Okada is the champion. And he beat him cleanly, 1, 2, 3. Nobody cheated, nobody got involved. It was clean victory. So I have to give it to Evil, man. Evil is my wrestler of the week. And I saw that match, I think I saw it yesterday, and man, pretty decent match. And man, Evil, even though he's not in the final four, but it was a very big upset. So man, yeah, my wrestler of the week is from around the world, Evil, from WWE, Strowman. That's what I would say.
And you know what, you picked them beautifully, because those are my exact sentiments. If you're going WWE, it has to be Strowman, and if you're going around the world, it has to be Evil, because I've seen all the matches too, and you hit it right on the head. So my picks are the same as yours, because nobody can deny those two guys this week. Nobody.
Matter of fact, Evil's victory was such a big thing. On Twitter, Evil is a member of LIJ, Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Yep.
So his stablemate, who goes by Bushi, who, if you've ever seen LIJ, Bushi is the masked wrestler. He's the one who wears like the Rey Mysterio type mask, the luchador mask. He posted on his Twitter, he posted a picture of a magazine. Now, I'm unsure if this magazine is a New Japan magazine. I believe it is, but I'm not 100% sure. But Evil's victory was such a big deal that Bushi posted a picture on his Twitter. And it was a picture with, I'll see if I could show it to you. It was of Evil. He had, he was standing behind Okada while Okada was like he was knocked down, but he was sitting down. So Evil was like lifting him up. And he was doing, you remember the taunt that Undertaker used to do where he sort of slits his throat?
Yeah, I remember that.
So he sort of did that to, he did that across the throat of Okada. So.
Yeah, that was a beautiful spot in the match, because I remember that clearly, and when I saw that, it made me think of Taker immediately. Mm-hmm.
Let me show
immediately,
you.
Man.
Let me show you, brother.
Okay.
I mean, this is off of Bushi's Twitter, so Bushi's hand right here, and there you see Evil slicing the throat of Okada. Now, obviously you can't see Okada because Bushi's hand is in the way, but that is Okada right under his fingers, and that's Evil. So, I don't know if this is a New Japan magazine or not, but this is on the cover of that magazine. So
that is awesome.
So the fact that this man made it to the cover, I mean, come on. Is there anybody else that deserves to be Wrestler of the Week? I think not.
No, you hit the nail on the head, man. I mean, that's about as good as it gets. And, you know, honestly, and then, you know, if I move on to Match of the Week, I gotta be straight up honest with you. If I'm going WWE. Oh,
here we go. Evil posted it on his own Twitter himself. There you go. There you see it right there. In color. That is Okada right there. And you see Evil's hand right there slicing the throat of Okada. So there you go. Oh, and it says right there, Weekly Pro Wrestling. So this is a weekly magazine that comes out in Japan. I don't know the name of it, but it says they're Weekly Pro Wrestling. And the fact that this man is on the cover, I mean, come on, man. He beat the fucking champion. But what else is there left to say?
Oh, it's, you know what? I gotta applaud Evil for that because, you know, that's a big accomplishment, a big, huge accomplishment. And I wish him all the best.
Now, but just because that man defeated Okada doesn't mean that he's winning in the G1 because Okada is in the finals and he will face off against Kenny Omega once again, I believe this Saturday. And Tanahashi is also in the finals in his block. Tanahashi will face off against Naito to determine the winner of the A block. And Kenny Omega will take on Kazuchika Okada to determine the winner of B block. Now, if you ask me, I've been saying this since the beginning, but I believe that Naito is coming away with the victory. I believe he's going to win the entire thing. But who knows, man? I could hit us with an upset. But I still believe that Naito's winning the entire thing. And it might be Naito taking on Kenny. Or it could be Naito taking on Okada. Regardless of the fact, and I said this before, I said this on Twitter as well, Kenny won it last year, and he also has a championship. So I can't see Kenny being back-to-back G1 winner. Okada, he's the IWG heavyweight champion. He doesn't need to win as well. He doesn't need to win. Tanahashi, he's the IC champ. He doesn't need the victory yet either. All three of these men have titles except for Tanahashi. I mean, except for Naito, sorry. Naito's the only one who doesn't have a title. Naito won it back in 2013, but that was a different Naito. That was a completely different Naito. It's not the Naito that we see today. You know, the Naito of back then, you know, he wasn't in LIJ. He wasn't the Naito who's the leader of Los Ingobernables. He's not the Naito who tosses the titles around and doesn't give a fuck about anything. It's a completely different Naito. So, if I still believe that this year Naito is 100% taking That's just me.
I'm excited.
But go ahead and close this out, brother. I need to go
into the bathroom. And as far as match of the week, I gotta go with, if you're going WWE, I'm going with The Last Man Standing with Roman and Strowman, and if we're going around the world, I have to go with Evil and Okada. Those would be matches of the week.
Definitely.
You have the same feeling about your matches?
Yep. It's WWE. It's definitely, this man. Strowman and Roman, for a Monday Night Raw, they put on a good match for a Monday Night Raw. But that being said, Raw did put on the better matches. I mean, the triple threat matches, the women's, it was kind of mediocre, but the Ambrose-Cesaro, that was pretty good. The Rollins-Sheamus, that was pretty decent, you know. But definitely the match of the night was hands down Strowman and
oh yeah. Definitely, bro.
Anyways, go ahead, brother. Close this up.
Alright. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been our WWE News and Rumors coverage. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And, if you have any questions or comments about the news and rumors that, you heard Sage and I talk about in this video, feel free to go ahead and leave your comments down below, leave your likes. Most importantly, don't forget to subscribe to the channel. It's all free. It doesn't cost you anything to subscribe to the channel here. And same thing with my podcast, my audio podcast on iTunes. It's free. It doesn't cost you nothing. And you subscribe to it, it'll download to your device of choice for free. So, I mean, what do you gotta lose? Really, what do you gotta lose? And, you know what, to be honest here, we're adding more coverage, like the New Japan coverage and everything. So, I mean, for those of you that are looking for WWE, we got it. Those of you looking for something outside of the box, like New Japan, we got it. So, don't hesitate to come on over here and give us a subscribe and share the content all over the internet, because believe me, you will be happy that you did, and we will not disappoint you. But anyway, guys, this has been episode number 76 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for today, Wednesday, August 9th. And 17. And as far as WWE coverage, you know, we'll try to do another news and rumors report next week. As far as on the YouTube channel, WWE coverage won't start up again till Monday for Raw and Tuesday for SmackDown. Those of you that want to check in on my channel and you're curious about the New Japan coverage, debut episode of that kicks off next, which will be a quick little recap of the G1 Climax tournament. And, you know, just something to get you going before we get a big weekend this weekend with Omega and Okada and B Block, you know, having a big match. And then you have the A Block finals, and then you'll have, AN, one man from A, the winner of A Block and the winner of B Block go in the finals. So it's going to be big for New Japan this weekend, but we're going to kick off with some huge coverage there. So for watching and listening, I really appreciate it. And also, don't forget to get that hashtag Justice for Pretty Moving. I would greatly appreciate if you guys did that as well. And stay up to date with us. But we put in another great week as far as on the WWE end of the spectrum, and I couldn't be happier to be here. So thank you guys again very much. For Sage, I'm Big T. We will see you next week for episode number 77 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast, where we'll have plenty more news and rumors to bring to you. But until then, you guys take care. I love you all. We'll talk to you next week for some more WWE news and rumors. Good night, everybody.